This message is part of the educational ministry of Columbia International University. We've been preparing world Christians to know Him and to make Him known since 1923.
Well, I just started an embarking kind of journey on a training kind of session for a 5K run. Okay, I'm doing this 8-week training to run a 5K. Now, I've been running for a long time. I've been running since the 80s. I used to run up and down these boulevards and down the tracks and back. But I wasn't really a racer. I didn't really go out to race in these things. But last year, two of my friends from CIU, David First, who's an alumni, and Justin Farron, who's an alumni, they wanted to do this triathlon. And they said, but we're going to do a team triathlon. So one person does the biking, one person does the swimming, one person does the running. They said, now you're pretty much terrible at the first two, but how do you feel about trying the third one? I said, I'll try. So I went out and I ran my 5K, and I'm competitive. If you grew up in my house, you would be laughing, man. When we played cards, like we're playing hearts or something, you know, and we're just like, oh yeah. Oh yeah. Like if you saw in our house, we like play checkers. Hilarious. Like checkers. Cause we were competitive. You know, we'd be playing checkers like this. King me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, we're serious. We don't like to lose. So I looked at my time. So I start looking up at all the other times, and we did okay. We got 5th out of 10. We're kind of right in the middle there. But we're looking at our individual times. And of course, me, bizarro, crazy, psycho, Kingsley, I start going through all these 5K races around the country and checking out other people's times that are in my age group. And I wonder if I can try that. So I'm saying, I'm going to try. I'm going to give it one last shot and try athletically to see if I can achieve a few things. I'm not going to race just to finish. You know, some people say, I hope I can finish. That's not why I'm racing. I'm not racing because I like to run. I don't like it. I don't go out there and go, man, this is fun. Oh, man, this is great. I just want to keep doing this. I don't do that. I'm going out to compete. So I've just finished my 2nd week. I'm starting my 3rd week now. We're doing some speed work and some other things. And I had to do an evaluation of all my times and where they're at and where do I want to be. I wanted to evaluate. And I've noticed I need to make a few changes. I'm going to change my shoes. I've been working on some things with my diet and some other things like that. So this evaluation will help me in the race. Now, you're probably going to be doing some evaluations soon. I'm assuming you'll be going over some of your classes and professors and your experience at CIU, filling out those evaluations. I want you, for the next few minutes, to do an evaluation with me on something else, though. Not about running a 5K, not about your classes or your professors, but an evaluation of your spiritual walk. How are you doing spiritually? Are you growing? Are you changing? Now, I'm not asking you how much you've learned. I'm not asking how much you know. I'm not asking how much you're reading. But are you changing to become more godly? That's an evaluation we should always continue to do. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to Hebrews chapter 12. And we're going to look at verse 14. Hebrews chapter 12. Starting at verse 14. Remember, when we read the Bible, we don't read the Bible to finish. Read the Bible to change. Let's review. Don't read it just to finish. Read it to change. Hebrews 12, 14. I like the NASB in this verse, but there's a bunch of different ones. Hebrews 12, 14. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no man can see God. Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one can see God. So we should pursue two things. Now, you might say follow after. That's not really a great word. It's more of a chase. It means to chase after in order to capture. This word pursue, to chase after in order to capture. It's basically what the guys do around here. Or should I say it's the girls, maybe. It's to chase after in order to capture, right? It's not a surveillance word just to look and see. You're in the chase wanting to obtain something. And he said you should obtain two things, peace with all men and holiness. So, you know, I was thinking about what people pursue. Some people, they pursue good things. You know, sometimes some people like food, for instance, or coffee. Like I heard people say, I got to get the best coffee. I've been traveling around the city. I'm trying to find them. Some people say, you know, that Caribou place over there on 12th that has like it has the best, cappuccino. Or they'll say, that Starbucks in Harbison has the best iced caramel macchiato or whatever those things are called. The student center has the best lemonade and it's good. Good lemonade, too. But this is interesting because people do pursue and chase after excitement, fun, knowledge, money, relationships, sexual pleasure. Usually we're chasing something. But this says we should chase two things. Let's start with peace with all men. Interesting. Peace with all men. Peace with all men. West Dorm, Memorial Dorm. Peace. Mac people, PC people. Northerner, Southerner. Democrat, Republican. Christian, non-Christian. Hindu, Muslim. Peace with all men. Not just hope that it happens, not just look to see if it's taking place. You should be chasing peace with all men. Now, do I know that peace isn't always going to take place? Of course I do, but that doesn't mean the desire for it can't be there. I mean, I've had to struggle with this. I remember back in the 90s when the United States had attacked a certain country, and I had this kind of aggressiveness in my personality, and I still work on it in some ways. But I had my first thought that I had was, I'm glad that they're getting that. That's what they get. You want to pick a fight? Then how about you just get some from us? And I mean, immediately, God said, what are you doing? I mean, I understand that there's going to be war and fighting, and sometimes that's to have peace. But are you taking joy in those people getting hurt that there's not peace there? And I had to repent. Peace with all men. It's not really a hard concept. I mean, peace is the absence of conflict. It's freedom from grudges, freedom from gossip, freedom from arguing. It's not hostility, but it's harmony. Now, I see a lot of Christians, they like to pick fights. And I don't know why they do that. They walk around and they just want to start a fight with something. Maybe it's about politics. Maybe it's about theology. Maybe it's about some social issue. And it's kind of interesting because they use this apologetics excuse as their justification. They'll start a fight and they'll say, no, I'm just defending the faith. I'm defending the church. I'm defending the world. It's apologetics, the defense of the faith. And I'm going, that's not what's happening here. See, there's another word called polemics, which means to attack. It comes from a Greek word that means warlike or hostile. You're a polemicist. You like to go after and attack people. That's not apologetics. That's polemics. That's sad. I don't like that. Some people say, well, we're just trying to share the truth in love. No, you just love sharing the truth. That's different. Do you chase peace with all men? Are you pursuing that? All right, number two. Number two is holiness. Now, I doubt that I'm going to be able to define this, give it its due definition. I'll try my best. But I'm not talking about positional holiness. I'm not talking about ceremonial holiness. I'm talking about personal holiness. The idea of being set apart or different. Having consistent thoughts, words, and actions that match Jesus, right? Ephesians 5:1, be imitators of Christ Jesus, where we get that Greek word mimete, we get that word mime or mimic, to copy, be just like him. J.C. Ryle, who was kind of a famous writer and preacher in the late 1800s, had a lot to say about this, and I respect a lot of the things that he wrote. He said, when he talked about holiness, it's like having a habit where your heart and mind is connected with his heart and mind. It's like a consistent habit where your heart and mind is connected with the heart and mind of Jesus. A holy person We'll be faithful to his spouse, a loving parent, a good friend, a good neighbor, consistently praying, looking to share their faith, reading the word, be more concerned about displeasing God than displeasing the world, ache over personal sin and seek repentance. They'll seek forgiveness, always asking forgiveness to those that they've hurt, not holding grudges, always be willing to serve. They will not be prideful about what they know and do, but be humble and overwhelmed with gratitude. That's all. That's all. That's all it is. Pursuing holiness. Are you chasing after holiness? It doesn't come from your parents, doesn't come from your teachers, doesn't come from your professors, doesn't come from your friends. It comes from the Holy Spirit and your submission to him as he desires to continually change you to become more like Jesus. Are you changing? Jesus Christ is the foundation, we know. John 15:5, right? We can't do anything apart from him. But sometimes it's discouraging because people talk a lot about their justification, but there aren't many marks in their sanctification. Or the guys who brag about Christ's work for them, but they rarely show the Holy Spirit's work in them. Some people use their theology as a cloak or a cover of their spiritual laziness. You ever notice that? That's discouraging to me. I mean, if you're going to walk around and quote Paul's phrase, "Oh, the wretched man that I am," then you better quote some of his other phrases like, "I press on toward the goal to win the prize." And not use your theology as a crutch to be a lazy bum. Okay, let's talk about that for a second. I'm throwing out an old school word that I used to like a lot, Rocky. Remember that movie, Rocky? He didn't want to be a lazy bum. I don't want you to be a person that ends up sitting on the couch eating chips because you're a lazy bum spiritually. I'm not talking about a couch sitting, sleeping, chip-eating bum. Now, don't get me wrong. I like chips. I like potato chips, corn chips, chocolate chips, paint chips. I like a lot of different chips. I'm just saying that you have to be careful about learning what it means to be faithful. What it means to be faithful. See, one thing that slows growth is sin. Go back up in chapter 12 to the verse 1. Hebrews 12:1. You probably know this one. "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up." Sin can stop growth. Another thing that can slow growth is ministry. Isn't that interesting? Ministry can slow your personal growth. Now, what do I mean by that? Please catch this. I'm going to share with you how I've been tricked, hopefully so you can be safe and it not happen to you. Let's say that the Christian life is like the alphabet, okay? We're going to say that letter A is conversion, okay? What's letter A? Conversion. That's when you receive Jesus. That's the justification. That's 2 Corinthians 7:10. Godly sorrow brings repentance. It leads to salvation. When you became a Christian, boom, now you are in the Christian family. Letter A is conversion. What's letter A? Conversion. Let's say that Z is heaven. Okay, what's Z? Now, here's the interesting thing. What about this B to Y section? This B to Y section. Heaven's going to be amazing. Salvation, letter A, amazing. What about this B to Y section? Right? Because didn't he say we should be holy? So let's say that the letter Y is as holy as we can be while we're on earth pre-heaven. Now don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to preach perfectionism, but I am saying that I do want to work toward becoming more holy. I might not be sinless during this lifetime, but I think I can sin less and less and less. I'm supposed to, according to Hebrews 12:14, chase why? Chase as holy as I possibly can be while I'm here. Chase it in order to capture it. But you can't just jump letters. You can't become a Christian, get to letter A, and then the next day you're down at Y. I mean, for instance, for me. I've been a Christian, let's see, how many years is this? Carry the two, something like that. I think like 23 years. So I'm way down there in the alphabet. I'm way down there at like E. I'm way down there. And my job is to get to the next letter. Let me ask you a question. What letter are you on? And how long have you been on that letter? See, ministry, Satan can use that to trick you in your growth. Here's what's happened to me. Multiple times where Satan uses a godly idea to trick me. Now, I know that sounds a little awkward, right? That Satan will use a godly idea to trick me. So I'm growing. I get to A to B, C to D to E. And all of a sudden, Satan says, hey, Jeremy, don't forget about sharing your faith. There's a lot of people there who are not in the alphabet. You need to work on bringing them into the alphabet. Now, I'm trying to go this direction. Okay, let's just look. A's here, Z's there. I'm trying to get to the next letter. And he goes, don't forget, throw some ropes out behind you because there's some people that are not in the alphabet. Throw it out and help that guy. And that guy's not safe. She doesn't know. Now, you wouldn't think Satan would say that, would you? By the way, Jeremy, don't forget, there's also a lot of Christians that you're supposed to be helping, right? Helping pastors and youth pastors and bands, right? And business people. And you're supposed to be discipling them, helping them, mentoring them. Make sure you throw some ropes out for them. And all of a sudden, about a year later, I'm throwing ropes out to lost people. I'm throwing ropes to these guys, trying to pull them in the alphabet or help other people that are in the alphabet get to the next letter. And all of a sudden, a year later, I'm still on E. Because he tricked me. Just because you do ministry doesn't mean for sure you're growing spiritually. I'm supposed to be chasing why. I'm supposed to be trying to get to the next letter. And if I drop a rope, here's this for you, but I'm chasing this. If you want to come with me, here's a rope for you. Can we pull? But I have to keep chasing this, not turn my back to why and just be content with trying to help a bunch of other people. What letter are you on? How long have you been on that letter? When I talk with pastors and youth pastors and bands and business people that I try to mentor, and I'm not very qualified, but I do my best, we talk about Galatians 5, you know, in verse 22 and 23, right? The fruit of the Spirit. We talk about those things. And I say, let's do a little test here. I say, and I try to say this to myself. If I went to your house right now, I went to your kitchen, what are some things that might be missing that you need to go to the grocery store to get? Just name a few things. I might say bread or milk or nut or butter cookies. I mean, it's a must. You have to have those. I mean, you know what I'm saying? And they'll say a couple things. I'll say, okay, now if we go to this grocery store in Galatians 5, 22 and 23, and we looked in your heart, and your heart is the kitchen or the pantry, what things are missing? Is it kindness? Is it self-control? And you say, Lord, take me to that place. I need those in my heart. I need these in my life. Those will help me get to the next letter. Why is holiness so important? I've got four reasons here. Why is holiness so important? Number one, the voice of God commands it. Matthew 5:48. Be holy as I am holy. That's what he said. Number two, it is sound evidence of our faith. Right? Matthew 7:20, you will know them by their fruit. Number three, it's proof of our love for Jesus. John 14:15, if you love me, obey my commands. Number four, it can help bring others to Christ. Remember 1 Peter 3:1, which talks about the unbelieving husbands. They'll be won without a word, but by the behavior of their wives, God can use it in evangelism. See, during my time here, I was in the Bible teaching program. And the director of the Bible teaching program at the time was a lady named Mary Faith Phillips. And man, when I came to school, I was so excited. I had heard about her. Dr. Cooper was here also working with her in there. And when I had this opportunity, man, I was excited because one of the men that I had met, David First, was a Bible teacher, and he helped bring me to this school. He inspired me, developed a passion. I wanted to teach. So I couldn't wait to go to the classes and learn about the Bible and learn how to teach and learn about students. And that's what I kind of started to put all my energy into. And she taught me those things. I'm not sure I've ever seen anyone teach the Bible like her. She taught me about that. She taught me the Word. But of all those things right there, that wasn't the number one thing that she taught me. When I was a senior, it was time to do student teaching, and we traveled different parts, usually in the Southeast, and we teach at different schools for a certain amount of time, a certain number of lessons, and man, I am loving it. I am enjoying my time. And she would come, and she would watch us and do an evaluation so we could look and get better. And I would look at those things, and I would see all these marks, and I would try to check them, and, hey, watch your jokes. Don't wear the Elvis tie. Some of the little funny things that were going on. And I said, I want to get better. I want to get better. I want to get better. Why? Because I want to teach. And when we got toward the end of that school year, I said, now I got to start looking for a job. I mean, I want that job. It didn't really matter where the job would be. I just wanted the position. So one day, I was over in Fisher there, in one of the classrooms, and Miss Phillips said, can you come in? I need to talk to you for a second. And she sat me down. She said, Jeremy, I want to ask you a serious question. When you teach, do you want to make Pharisees? Do you want to make Pharisees? I started tearing up. Absolutely not. And with a humble, bold but loving voice, she said, then you remember, always, always apply this to your heart and life. Apply it to your heart and your life. See, I wanted to be a teacher. She wanted me to be holy. So let me ask you a question. It's a good time to evaluate. How are you doing? When you look back at this year that you spent at this institution, do you love Jesus more now than when you came? Do you know Him more now than when you came? Have you been changing, becoming more holy? What letter are you on? How long have you been there? Are you straining, chasing, pursuing the next letter, chasing holiness? Why don't you bow your heads? We'll pray. That's a hard question. Are you holy? It's a really hard question. Are you chasing holiness? It's not if we're reading about it. It's not if we're singing about it. It's not if we're approving or disapproving of other people's holiness. The personal evaluation is, are you changing? Are you chasing? Why? To be like Him. Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that You would help us with this. This is a broad thing. So many aspects to it. But would You help us to guard our heart, guard what we allow ourselves to become passionate about? May nothing ever take the first place that You deserve to have. Would You help us not to use theology or other excuses as a cloak for spiritual laziness? Help us to love people, to love Your Word. Lord, to continue to look at our lives so we can say, what is next for me to become more like you. Would you please take me to the next letter on this pursuit of peace with all men and holiness? And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you were blessed by this message. Additional audio messages and learning resources are available at www.ciu.edu/bookstore or call 803-807-5263. Messages are also available by podcast at iTunes. CIU is a regionally accredited biblical university offering undergraduate and graduate degree programs. Our purpose is to educate people from a biblical worldview to impact the nations with the message of Christ. Thank you for letting us minister to you today.